comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation so. Where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, sing about it. Yes, tell me where. To the Lord. Give him a big hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Glad you're here. Brother Charlie and Sister Chevy made it back home. Somebody say praise the Lord. Glad to have them with us in service tonight. We're going to look at our prayer request tonight. I want you to, if you don't care to remain standing just for a few minutes, we'll go right straight into the prayer for these requests. I want to Brother Matt Carter sends this in to please pray for our brother-in-law, Harold Figgs. He's sick, cannot eat because he's taking radiation for throat cancer. And also, they're asking that we would pray for his salvation. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Jim Hughes says, a friend of ours asked the church to pray for their granddaughter, a 21-year-old with a rare form of cancer. So they're asking that we would remember that need tonight. The Dyers want to offer this testimony. We want to praise our Lord Jesus and thank all of the saints that have prayed for our granddaughter Hannah that has epilepsy. She has had a rough spring, but she has not had a seizure since June the 4th. That is the longest break that she has had in 10 years, and they want to praise the Lord for that tonight. So somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I want to pray for Sister Janet Kennedy, who's in a lot of pain tonight, and an unspoken prayer request for that family. So let's just commit that to the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Courtney Babb. She has had wisdom teeth pulled today. So let's pray the Lord will just be with her and give her a speedy recovery. Brother Larry Elliott wants to thank everyone for their wonderful cards during the passing of his mother. The words of encouragement meant so much to him and his family, so they want to praise the Lord for that and thank you for your concern. I want to have a prayer tonight for Brother Greg Robbins. He's not feeling well, so let's remember him in prayer. Sister Hadessa Vaughn says, please pray for me as I interview for a full-time teaching job next week. Pray that the Lord will direct my path. Thank you and may God bless. So let's remember that need tonight. The Lord's able to direct her in the way he would want her to go. We'll just commit that to the Lord. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight? Anything you'd like for this group to pray about? We're serving an awesome God tonight, aren't we? Brother Wes, why don't you come lead us to the Lord in prayer? Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. Let's invite his presence into this service tonight as we pray. Brother Wes, God bless you.
God bless you. Let's pray. Father, like the song says, where could we go but to the Lord? Where else would we want to go? You're our greatest friend. Like Brother Lance said when he was preaching one time, you're coming back for your friends. It's such a wonderful thing that we can actually call our own God. We can call him brother. It's too much to comprehend. Lord, there's nothing too great for you. If this army in this battle that we're fighting, Lord, got down to the last man, you'd be it. It won't come to that, though, because the victory's already won. This battle is already over. Lord, you've already taken the stripes for the healing of these people that have put these requests here tonight. Lord, I just thank you so much that you loved us and you shed your precious blood to take our suffering and to take our pain and to take our sickness, Lord. You did that for us because you love us. Lord, in faith, Lord, we know that if we believe that, and if that's the rock we stand on, you'll heal us. Lord, we know we can count on that. If it's not our appointed time, you will bring us back. You will heal us. Lord, cancer is not too big for you. Cancer is nothing. Epilepsy is nothing to you, Lord. It is nothing to you but just a spirit that can be driven out. They can be driven away. A person can be raised up, Lord. Lord, we're asking for salvation for some of these that are put here before us tonight, Lord Jesus. Where were we at before you granted us salvation? Where were we at before you stood in our place? Lord God, we know what a heart-wrenching thing it is to see somebody that you love overcome with sickness and on top of that to be lost and undone. Lord God, we just ask that tonight your bride can pull on your heartstrings, Lord, for these requests. Lord, there's a sister here who wants guidance, Lord, in her career. Lord, I know that there's so many that don't care about your guidance tonight, that you're going to look down on her life and you're going to guide the steps of her life. You're going to help her in her career, Lord, in the teaching job, Lord. Sister Dessa has put her faith in you, and I know that you won't leave that unanswered, Lord. Lord, all these requests, Father, we know that we can trust you with them because you're our dearest and closest friend. You walk closer to us than a brother. You love us with all your heart. You loved your bride so much that you came down and served her. And washed her feet, Lord. You let us become one with you. Flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone. Lord God, we just cry out for the day that we can be joined together again with you. Lord, we look forward to it so much. We ask you to bless this service tonight so that we can be pleasing to you. Our worship can be pleasing to you. So that we can leave here closer to you than we came, Lord. Lord, fill our brother. Fill our brother with the words of life straight from the throne of heaven, Lord God. Lord, we're trusting you for that and we know we can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make just a few announcements while they're receiving the offering tonight. Could everyone that's riding with Sister Connie Arwood to camp on Saturday, please meet in the fellowship hall after the service. If you're riding and with Sister Connie to the camp on Saturday, please go to the fellowship hall as soon as service is over tonight, which is just for a brief meeting. And let me make this announcement. Sisters, the picnic is July the 5th. We should do as we did last time, bring a side and dessert or two sides. We will begin the line at 11:30, so please be there on time. Volunteers are needed by 9:30 or 10 o'clock. Thanks so much. So we're looking forward to that. Now, Brother Charlie Therese has written a book. And I believe he says that during a period of this time, Brother Charlie was of the Catholic faith. But he says, what I love about the Bible so much is predestination. Because I was saved from the foundation of the world, he said, but I didn't know it. And God had to spare his life so he could find out. He's written a book. These are available in the library. I guess after service tonight, Brother Charlie has some with him. So if you'd like to pick one of these up, I'm certain it would be a blessing to you. This Was Not My Time, A Remarkable Story of Survival in World War II. Brother Charlie Therese. So I think it'll be a great blessing to you if you'd like to pick one of those up. And we're glad you're back in Tennessee. We really are. We're thankful to have you. Let's sing some more of that song tonight. Where could I go but to the Lord? Shake hands with somebody around you. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. Oh, tell me where. In the end, where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, neighbors are kind, I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. Tell me where could I go? Oh, where?
and of death. Oh, where could I go but to the Lord? Say it now. Oh, now where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, Jesus gave me my light, and he told me to let it shine. And he told me, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, the devil can't take it away, so I'm gonna let it shine. The devil can't take it away, so I'm gonna let it shine. The devil can't take it away, so I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. It's because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Sing it from your heart. Because he lives, all my fear is gone. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. I'm going to have a special. Brother Larry Elliott got has us a song tonight. I believe we're going to have a baptizing here tonight in this service. And just look into that. My grandson, Brother Terry, going to get baptized tonight. And Andy, Jennifer's little boy, Drew. So we're just looking forward to that. Brother Larry, God bless you as you sing for us. We appreciate Brother Larry, don't we? Amen.
thank you for all your prayers and support and the cards and everything. I want to send this song out to some friends in Africa that have been very encouraging to me as of late. Keep C. It's just a little worship song. No other name but Jesus. No other name but my Lord. No other name more beautiful to me. That's why I love Him so. There's no other name but Jesus. No other name but my Lord. No other name more beautiful to me. That's why I love Him so.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross. You're talking about some sneaky devils. Now, these are people that supposedly was following the new message of that day. But the persecution of the cross was so great, if they could talk them Gentiles into being circumcised, it would take part of the reproach of the cross away.
Now listen what they did. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised. Well, I imagine that went over real good, wouldn't you? I mean, you're a dyed-in-the-wool Jew. You're a Pharisee, Sadducee, Essene, whatever more. And then you read this where he said, ain't none of you keeps the law. Bless God, I'll tell you one thing I'll do. Prophet of God said they didn't. But they desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Boy, you talking about something to glory in. But I love the way Paul says this. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now, how in the world is that possible? I thought we were talking about Jesus dying on the cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we so thank you tonight for your precious word. Lord God, I thank you that you've made a way that we as your children could have this book that we call the Bible. Where would we be today if it was not in your great providential plan to allow us to have the word of God? We so appreciate it. Lord, I pray that you will take these words that were written so many, many years ago, and you'll make them real to our hearts tonight. May we see that there is such power in being able to receive the crucified life that was given at that cross. Speak to us tonight, dear God, from your word. Father, you see this handful of prayer cloths that I have here, Lord. All these different needs that are represented. I pray, dear God, in the name of Jesus, may your presence, Father, just go with them and meet these needs. In Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Brother Charlie, so glad to see you tonight, buddy. The geese have been here for a long time. What took you and Sister Chevy so long? I want to speak to you again tonight on a godly man and the cross. You know, the cross to the apostolic church, the original people who believed the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus, would have certainly been a complete different reproach than what we bear today. For them to accept and believe that their master, their conqueror, had actually submitted to a death on the cross. And for them to not be ashamed of such would have took a real revelation. This is why the proselyte Jews were trying to soften the humiliation of the cross. So if they could talk people into being circumcised, then they could come back and say, well, they do embrace this new cross doctrine thing, but bless God, they have been circumcised. They're still accepting the law of Moses. So they tried to do everything they could in order to soften the reproach of the message of the day. Amen. It's the same today. So it shouldn't really be a surprise or a shock to us that the gospel light in this hour will certainly by the unconverted need to be softened and the reproach somewhat taken away to make it more bearable. Yet to the apostles, they not only did they believe in what had happened on the cross, but it was a part of their preaching. Now, to be a believer in that day and acknowledge what the Lord God had done on the cross, to have been a secret believer and kept it to yourself and not really said that much about it would have been one thing, but them apostles, they could not let that happen that way. Yeah. So they had to make it a part of the gospel, and truly it was. Notice this in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. I want you to notice what Peter's doing now. He's letting them know this was foreordained by God. It was not just something that they premeditated. Actually, if you'll study the week prior to the crucifixion, you'll see that it was absolutely in the mind of the Sanhedrin. It was in the mind of Caiaphas. It was in the mind of Annas. It was in the mind of the great leaders of that day to totally, completely wait till after the Passover to crucify the Lord Jesus. They've said it several different times in the gospel, not while the Passover is going on, lest there be an uproar among the people. But God had it in His determinate counsel, it must be during the time of the Passover, because He was our Passover lamb. So they had already determined to kill Him, but they had not determined to kill Him in the time of the Passover. So it goes to show that even though things may come in our life and Satan may be allowed to do certain things in our life, still it will all work according to the determinate counsel of our Father. Now, notice how Peter then in verse 36, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Acts chapter 4 verse 10. Be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here whole before you. Now notice, so they are now preaching the message of that day. And the emphasis was on what? The resurrected Lord Jesus. But they're not ashamed to preach a crucified Christ. Now to the Jews, they would sneer, they would lie, they would ridicule, they would make fun of it. It didn't make no difference to the apostles how much they made fun of it. May you and I bear the reproach of the message in this hour in exactly the same way. Let people stream our services, let them lie, let them ridicule, let them do whatever. We will bear the same reproach in the same way that our forefathers did before us. And what we will do is watch the power of this message not only heal our bodies, but change them one day. So let people laugh, let them ridicule, let them do whatever they want to do, and we'll receive the benefit while they're laughing. Now, whenever then Paul, of course, had the understanding of what God had done on the cross, Peter recognized, James recognized, all the rest of the apostles, they knew that God had done something. But it was because Paul, being the messenger of the age, that God opened up to the messenger of the age something of the mystery of what the cross really was, and a clearer view than any of the rest of the apostles actually saw it. Now watch in Galatians 6:14, he says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. Now look at this word. It means to stake, drive down with stakes, metaphorically to crucify the flesh, destroy its power, utterly the nature of the figure, implying that the destruction is intended with intense pain. So how could Paul get out of Jesus dying on the cross that the world was crucified? How could Paul get out of that? Peter never said it this way. James never said it this way. How did Paul get out of that? That actually the cross held the death not only of the Lord Jesus, but Paul's death and the death of the world all on one cross in one setting. Now notice what he says. He said, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So he sees a double effect of the cross that the rest of the apostles never preached. Now, you never find another rest of them ever preaching this double effect quite in this way. So the world was actually crucified on the cross. But how could that be? The world never died on the cross. It was the Lord Jesus. So, and yet Paul said that he was crucified, and Paul never died physically on the cross. Now, there is then a mystery or a threefold purpose that is in the cross that only the revelated, only those that have been initiated into the mysterion or the mysteries of God will ever fully be able to not only see or perceive, but actually have endowment of that in their life. How that the preaching of the cross is not just something that pardons our sins, because any sinner that would come to God and would be drawn by the Spirit of God and have an understanding that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and they would be able to say, well, I'm a sinner, I need to be saved. Can they be saved? Most definitely they can be saved. But yet, will they ever move into the second phase of the power of the cross or the third phase? Not unless they walk continuously in the Word to be the further of a disciple. Because as we've been looking at this in several services, that the cross of the Lord Jesus has to do with my salvation. But my cross has to do with my discipleship after I have already been saved. Now, I am not to bear my cross before I'm a Christian. I cannot do that. But after I am saved by accepting the work that was completed on His cross, then I'm to take up my cross. So my cross and your cross has to do with salvation? No. It has to do with discipleship. So then Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me. Now, many of the Jews in this time frame here, they had believed and they accepted the first work of grace, but they never went on to follow the further or the continuance of the Word. And that would have come not, now listen carefully, that would have not come just by following the four Gospels. You see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John contain many wonderful things, but the church would have never been complete without the book of Acts, without Romans, without Corinthians, without Galatians, without Philippians, and you'll find in steady history that many of the people in that day only wanted to follow the four Gospels, and they did not want to go into doctrine, they did not want to go into teaching, and remember, that spirit that motivated those people is still alive today, and this is why you find many Christians, all they want to know is the blood and mercy and the cross and all of that. Why? Because the Pauline epistles, they don't really want them, because it tells them how to live and how to wear their hair and all that sort of thing. So all they want then is reverting back to the four Gospels, which will never produce a rapturing life or an overcoming life. Because just viewing the cross from the four Gospels, you never get the full perimeter of the threefold purpose of the cross. And that was that Jesus might die on the cross, and that you might die on the cross, and that the world might die on the cross. But just by taking the Gospels, you'll never get that view at all. So you had to move beyond Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you had to move over into a dispensation when a prophet, it was revealed to him, which of course was Paul. Now notice, so he looked at the world, Paul did, as if though the world was on a cross. And the world looked at Paul as if though he were on a cross. Can't you see why the people who look at those that try to follow the Word, and when the Word says don't do this and don't do that, and the world looks at them as at us as if we're in some kind of bondage or something. Well, we are. We're nailed to a tree. Now, they can do anything they want to do and live any way they want to live. They want to paint their face, they can do it. You know, whatever they want to do, they can do it. Why? Because they are not on a cross. So they're taking Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's perspective of a cross, which only leads up to Jesus dying on the cross and pointing to us prophetically. But yet when Paul brought it and brought it into the new age then of the church, then he brings it into the second fold that the world had to die on that cross. And also
also into the final foe, that we also had to die with him. So then we died on the cross. The world died to us on the cross. And yet the world is not dead to everyone, only those who accept the full atonement of the cross, which is through the revealed word. Now a person can claim they're under the blood, but if the display of the full word of the hour is not living through their life, they're only saying they're under the blood. Now the blood may have washed them from their sins initially, but they've not went on to enter into fellowship in order to receive the life of the blood, which only comes from the bridegroom to the bride, or the husband to the wife. Praise the Lord. Now notice this. He said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Now listen to this. Christ's death on the cross made this possible, that the true believers who go on into the fullness of his life, that the world would be eradicated in their nature. Now when a person accepts the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they're not fully born again. They're like the apostles was, and we know what they turned out to be before the Holy Ghost. And this is why Jesus tells Peter, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. That yet they'd accepted the Lord Jesus as Savior, they'd been baptized in water, they'd healed the sick, done all kinds of miracles, but they had never yet had a conversion, which could only come on the day of Pentecost, right? By the Holy Ghost. So they was looking and pointing to that time. But you see, pointing to that time without the life of the Messiah being back in them is only a reversal of what people are doing today. Now today what they're doing is pointing back to what he did, but it don't do any good to point back if you don't have the life that came from the body that hang on the cross. So they were pointing toward it without having the life. Many people today are standing here pointing back. Look what he done. Look what he done. Look what he done. But I want to know, what has he done now? What is he doing right now? Not just he died 2,000 years ago. That's right, he did. But he got up again. And he come back in the form of the pillar of fire of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Amen. And if you believe it tonight, if you have accepted that full atonement, then that same life that was there is back in you tonight. But if you're standing here pointing back, look what he done, look what he done, look what he done. Can't you see why folks have to do that? Because they're not identified with the present light of the day. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, which puts the bride into the fellowship of communion whenever Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. And he said, well, Peter said, Lord, but wash my hands and my head and everything. He said, no, he that is washed needeth not save but just to wash his feet. Now your Jesus was likening that to the baths that they would have had in that time, because they didn't have bathrooms in their house the way we do. So they would have a public bathhouse. So you would go to the public bathhouse and you would take a bath. And then you would take your shoes and get dressed and you would come back. But by the time you got back to your house, your feet were dirty again. So Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not to be washed again, except for just his feet. Now, under the light of the hour is where the cleansing of the blood comes in order for real spiritual foot washing. What is foot washing? It's your walk. It's your everyday walk with God. This is why we need the light of this day shining. Do we need a new Bible? We don't need a new Bible, but we need the light of this hour shining on the same Bible we read all of our lives. And what does that light do? That illuminates the Spirit of God in order to point to us, this is what we need. And what's it doing? It's washing our feet. Because we're already saved, we've already got the Holy Ghost, and we're born of the Spirit of God, but we need the light of the hour in order to wash our feet in Laodicea. I don't know about you, I still get dirty feet around here. Oh, but thanks be to God for the blood of the Lord Jesus through the revealed word that keeps us in divine fellowship in the presence of God. Where would you be without it tonight, friend? Now watch this. So we're talking about a cleansing, as it was the Levitical priesthood, when they would come in and they would wash their feet thereat and their hands thereat, lest they should die. They had already been consecrated by the prophet Moses. But this initial washing was not enough to carry them right on through. But every time they would come through, there was a little spigot on the bottom, and they would come in and the water was running free like this, and they would take their feet and what put under it, they'd take their hands under it before they'd go into the presence presence of God. Yet they were already saved, as we would say. Can you imagine people now that are saved under a salvation light, but they never grow beyond that? This is why they're constantly going back to the altar and getting resaved and resaved and resaved. You don't need to get resaved, but you need the water that washes you for fellowship, which can only come through Jesus Christ, the light of the day. Woo! Well, I don't know who that was from, but man, I enjoyed that. My, hallelujah. Now, the Redeemer, the death of the Redeemer on the cross. Now, watch what Paul is going to show us here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Now, Paul here conveys this to us that the world is crucified unto me so that I then, being a changed person, the world has died to me and I have actually died to the world. So I'm hanging on the cross and I'm crucified with it. In Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How can a crucified man live? Now watch, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Lord have mercy, children. If we can say that tonight, we ought to be the happiest people in the world. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now the death of the Redeemer on the cross involved a hidden consequence that Satan did not understand. It was the mystery that was held in the bridegroom, and it was more than just coming up and paying a price of ransom. It was more than paying off a bond or a debt, but it was mysteriously hid in the body of the Lord Jesus that once He atoned for our sins, that not only would He die and then give us a paint that would paint our sins and forgive us our sins, but it would have a double effect in that when He died on the cross, it would kill sin in us and give us a new nature. Hallelujah! It would give us a new nature and we would be born by His nature. Oh, hallelujah! The devil did not know what was taking place on the cross. So Jesus dying on the cross brings a consequence of spiritual death to His people, to the world. Now, Paul says that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So He was crucified, then He had a resurrection. Jesus was crucified, then He had a resurrection. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now watch then, so Jesus dying on the cross was more than just to release blood, more than just to release His life, it was to bring you and usher you into a death. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So Christ was the source of this new life that he had. Now this union between Christ and the individual is what looses them from the first verse, all that old husband had the rule over. So the life that is in the vine flows into every branch. Every leaf, right? Every pistil, every part of that thing, as long as it's connected, every bit of it is connected by the same divine life of the Holy Ghost. Watch this in the Pergamene church age. Brother Bam said that was a living faith, talking about Paul. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Don't you understand, friends, where the majority of Christendom lives at? They live by faith in the Son of God. But the elect live by faith of the Son of God. Those who are living by faith in the Son of God, they are pointing back historically to something that God did. But they cannot point present tense and to say the life that I now live is Christ Jesus. Now they might say that with these words, but I'm not talking about saying about logos. I'm talking about my rhema word life, to where that life manifests itself out of you, and what you could not overcome, it overcomes for you. What you could not see, it sees for you. What you could not say, it says for you. What you could not believe, it believes through you. The life that I live, it's no longer me, but it's Christ. Notice this, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now you can't have that when you initially get saved. You believe in Him. If any man will come to Him, he must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But if you move far enough into the work of the cross, then you actually get a faith which is not your own. I'm telling you, children, the rapture is not going to be hard at all. The rapture is going to be one of the easiest things that some of you all have ever done after accepting salvation. We've got it in our mind as some complex, hard, difficult thing. One of these days when it happens, you're going to realize the faith of the Son of God that has anointed us to believe this word. You know what I'm talking about? When you get a revelation of God and you're studying or sitting out hearing the preacher preach, and all of a sudden it just, wham, it just drops right there and say, wow, where did that come from? You wasn't straining. You wasn't pushing. You wasn't trying. What was if the faith of the Son of God dropped right down in your heart? Maybe you struggled and struggled to see serpent seed. Or you struggled and struggled to see this and that. And all of a sudden He just opened up a door. And that faith dropped down in your heart and closed the door. And it's yours. Do you understand the rapture will be the same way? The change of our body and the resurrection will be the same way. One morning, hallelujah, it will drop right down in here. And there won't be hide, nor hair, nor bones left behind. Lord Jesus. Oh, I'm so glad for that faith tonight. Let me be honest with you and tell you. There's been times my faith has run out. There's been times my faith has just got plumb weak. Just as weak as a dish rag. Come on now, the rest of y'all got the same kind of faith I got. I'm talking about human faith. Your dish rag faith just to say, I'm giving up. I'm quitting. I can't take it no more. And boy, right when you get to that place, all of a sudden, here comes somebody say, man alive, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Oh, what was it? The faith of the Son of God. Oh, my. Now watch, whenever we look at the mystery of the power that was released on the cross. Hear people talk about the power of the cross. That's not even scriptural to say such a thing. There was no power on that cross. I am not worshiping the cross. I am not going to worship an idol. Many Christians do. They worship the idol of the cross. The cross had no power. The cross had no deliverance. It was Him who died on the cross. There's where the power comes from. Now, whenever Paul then, with this understanding, saying that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. I want you to notice this. He didn't say us. When you get the faith of the Son of God, them old days, well, am I Judas or am I Pharaoh? Am I... That old flesh of yours might say that, but your soul ain't never going to say it again. Let me tell you something, children. Notice the way he says this. He's saying it as if though he was the only one that Jesus died for. Now we know in reality we were not, but God wants it to be that real. That if there ain't nobody, if there ain't but one person going out of Happy Valley, y'all better move. Brother Dow, you better move. Your brothers better go somewhere else because I am that one. You say, how can you say that? Because the life that I live, I no longer live it by Donnie Reagan. I don't live it by Pentecostalism. I don't live it by tradition. I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. glory to God. Notice how Paul says this, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now you know that Paul said us a lot of times, but he must have felt really inspired to individualize on this. What a scripture to individualize on. The face of the Son of God. Oh, he gave himself for me. Oh, I pray that God will make this so real to us tonight. That as a body, that we realize he died for us all as a body. But singularity, he picked you out as an individual. Your name is not identified in a group text. Amen. You ain't known as an initial or a dot or a comma, but he died for you as an individual. Amen. We don't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a group. And God sent all the elect one group text and they all get the Holy Ghost at the same time. And you merge into that group individually. I have got my Holy Ghost. And let me tell you this. When I got my Holy Ghost and it sealed my soul, it will be mine for eternity. I will never lose it. Glory to God. It will never leave my soul. When my soul leaves my body, this Holy Ghost that I've got is mine forever. Watch this in Romans chapter 6 verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Lord have mercy. How can a man in his right mind say such a thing? There wasn't but one man on that cross, wasn't there? Depends on how you look at it. Actually, there's millions on that cross by representation. You see, when Adam sinned, even though I wasn't there, I was identified by representation. Glory! And even though Jesus hanging there on the cross, there wasn't but one body, as we'd say, a human body. But he was the head of the new race. And by representation, every one of you's names is on that Lamb's Book of Life. When the Lamb died, you died with him. When he raised from the dead, you got up with him. Hallelujah. No wonder he said when he comes back, he will bring the saints with him. You lived with him. You died with him. You rose with him. You're coming with him. No wonder he called it the bride coming of Christ. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified, our natural love for sin, the inclination that we were born with, propensities to do wrong. You mean it died with him on the cross? But does everybody that accepts Jesus as the Savior, does that old man die? Now be careful. If it does die, they'll have no more conscience of sin or desire. But if they just come to the foot of the cross, and they will be like the Roman soldiers or those that are standing by, and watch him die, and the blood splattered down on the cross, on the ground, and maybe splattered on some of them soldiers, they'll say, oh, I got the blood of Jesus on me. Oh, I got the blood of Jesus on me. But did it purge them from their own nature? Well, you're getting quiet on me. The old and the new man are opposites. The new man is the restored image of God that was lost in the Garden of Eden. Now, what you notice, whenever a man fell, actually, his image as far as the physical part, Adam's eyes didn't change. His hair didn't immediately go gray. And immediately when he fell, he didn't get a hump in his back and get all crippled up. But as time went on, then the curse of falling began to express itself in the attributes of his body. But something left him immediately, and that was the holy image of God. Oneness of God, 1962, you can find this. The holy image of God left him. Remember when God breathed into his nostrils and he became a living person with God. The prophet said he became an eternal person with God. So that something left out of him. But his hair looked the same. His eyes looked the same. Wrinkles didn't come immediately around his nose and crow's feet and all that. But that began to set in the process of time. But something left him immediately. What was it? The holy image of God went out of Adam's being immediately. 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 But yet the creation of God by the breath of God went out of this body, and the body is still standing there with a spirit and a soul, but now has a different desire. So what does the new birth do? Then the new birth comes and annihilates that old man, and he is dead immediately, 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 and then a new man moves inside this old house. What's he doing? The exact reversal of what Adam did in the Garden of Eden. The power of the Lord Jesus restores the holy image of God back in our souls again. Oh, hallelujah to God. And yet, look at our old houses. Oh. Oh. Praise the Lord. But you're heading toward that new body. Now what's this? Paul says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Now he's making the sound like the crucifixion is still ongoing. Notice the way he says this. Our old man not was, but is crucified with him. That the body of sin. Now watch him separate the old man from the body of sin. Oh Lord. That the body of sin might be destroyed. Now the old man was crucified, of course, with Christ, so that the body of sin need not be controlled by sin. Children, if you could only realize what a victory that you're living every day of your life, and you're wanting this thing to get done, you're wanting this week to get done, so you can get to the weekend, and then you can't wait till Monday gets done, so you can get to Wednesday. Why don't you open your eyes and realize every day you live on this earth as a new creature of God, you are absolutely testifying to the glory of what He did at the cross. Don't wish your life away. Don't wish tomorrow away. And the next day, man, I can't wait for vacation. I can't wait for August. I can't wait for winter. And then when it's wintertime, we can't wait for summer. And then when it's 90 and the shaver's there, man, I can't wait till it cools off. And then it's, oh, it's so cold. Oh, it's so cold. I can't wait till summertime. Why don't you enjoy every day of life you've got? Whether it's cold or hot or raining or sunshine or snowing or sleeting all at the same time. You ought to thank God for the power of the resurrection that allows the Spirit of God to live a restored life in you. Don't misunderstand me, but God can do something in us that He couldn't do in Jesus. God couldn't live a restored life in Jesus because Jesus never was lost. Hallelujah. Jesus never lost that image of God. Jesus was never cold, backslid, lost, indifferent. But God, the Holy Ghost, can live a life in me, a life in you, that He could never live in Jesus Christ because Jesus had no sin. But I was born in sin. You was born in sin. Had a vile nature, a wretched nature. And yet God come by the power of the Holy Ghost and breathed into my nostrils the breath of life. And I became an eternal person with God. And He lives every day in my body and brings it under control of the Holy Ghost. It ought to make a Presbyterian shout glory. So the old man is deprived of the image of God. The new man is that image restored. What do you mean when I get a new body? No, when you got a new birth. Where do you think your new body actually comes from? It starts from your new birth. you will cause your body, if you're alive, to materialize around your new birth. Lord have mercy. Oh, glory to God. Tell what he said in Question 64. Brother Ram explained the translation of the bride. Well, it's a change, you see. And he said you was an old person and then you got saved. And then it started from there. And he said, now we're going to take the rapture, all of those that are in Christ Jesus. He said it's the same thing like it was with Sarah. She was an old woman. And he said something began to materialize. Remember, Brother Ram said it never was Sarah's faith. She never did believe it. It was Abraham's faith. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you see what God was typing out? It ain't your faith. It ain't your hope. It ain't your goodness. It is the faith of your housewife. Hallelujah. It is the faith of our Lord Jesus that will lead us to victory. Well, I wish I was out in the woods by myself where I could really carry on. But I'll stay here and preach. I'll crucify myself. Notice this, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. The word with here is joined to the verb is crucified and means is crucified as he was. So those who are really joined with him are the ones who merge to the cross of crucifixion. Others point back historically, well, Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross. That's wonderful, but you've got to get on there. Notice, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Now the old man was crucified so the body would not have to be controlled by sin. Hang on to your seat. Matter of fact, you might want to buckle up your seatbelt. The word destroyed does not mean annihilated. It means rendered inactive. It's the same word that's used elsewhere in the New Testament, unemployed. The death of Jesus on the cross put sin in the unemployment line. Well, you say, Brother Donnie, I can't keep from sinning a little bit every day. I've got to sin a little bit. You need the Holy Ghost. Get that Holy Ghost inside of you, that new man. Oh, but Brother Donnie, does that mean the body's born again? That's the beauty of it. This body ain't born again. This body ain't got the Holy Ghost, but he's rendered unemployed. Hallelujah. As long as a man in the soul, the image of God that has been breathed in there by the breath of God, he renders this flesh unemployed, inoperated. What is it? Crucified. Crucified. The word destroyed means rendered inactive, made of no effect. Look at this. The same Greek word is translated loosed. In Romans 7:2, if a woman's husband dies, she's loosed from the law of her husband and free to marry again. Oh, glory. Remember, the high priest could not marry a woman which had been touched by another man. And you were his bride before the world began. But you were talked into that bogus marriage. And he had to get you out of that marriage. But he still couldn't remarry you as long as you'd been touched. So what did he do? The soul, the seed, the nature never was married to the devil. Hallelujah. It was the old man that was married to the devil. So he created a new man in Christ Jesus, and he can look at you and say, you are without fault. You are without sin. Married to the virtuous, sinless Son of God. Hallelujah. You were loose. Then your old marriage certificate was no evidence of it. Satan said, you done this and you done that and you done that. God said, you're talking about the wrong person. But I know it was him. God said, no, that guy moved out. That guy moved out. He died. We buried him. And I moved in that new house. You see, a woman, whenever she would be married, then to be, if her husband dies, she's loose from the law of that husband. The law still exists, but it has no authority over her. Sin and death still works in my mortal body. Human being make mistakes, but it has no authority over me. Sin desires to be our master. Now, it was granted a foothold when Adam fell in the beginning in order that sin might be projected into the earth. Satan was able to break into this and understand that if he could get a foothold in the human race, then sin would become the master, no matter how good you were, what your name was. But then sin and death, has no dominion over Christ. You believe that? Did sin have dominion over Jesus? Absolutely not. Whenever he died and went down into Hades and down into Sheol, down to the nethermost parts of the earth, it had no dominion over him. So all I've got to do is get back in Christ, and sin and death has no dominion over me. Notice this. He says, knowing that this our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The Greek word there is doulian, which means be a slave of sin. Sin is personified as a master over which it wants to control you. Now, even though the old man, the nature, has died, the marriage certificate has been destroyed. All the evidence is gone. You're still in the same old temple. Well, glory. Now watch. Brother Bam says it this way in the future home. You're the same man in stature that you were when God called you. Or the same woman. Now keep Adam in mind. So Adam was the same guy as far as his eye color, his hair, same stature, all that when the image left him. But the holy image was where? Was in him. It was not contained in his hair. But once the image left, then what did it do? It caused natural death to start setting into his body. So then, Brother Man, what's the parallel now? He said, you're the same man in stature that you was when God called you, the same woman. But you see, what did it? It was a regeneration. The old life passed away. The old desire has passed away. And these are the only funerals to where saints go to that you're not allowed to cry. If you're crying over that old man, he probably ain't dead.
Man, I'm going to miss them cigarettes. Oh, I'm going to miss that whiskey and that alcohol. Oh, Lord, have mercy, that amber running down out of my mouth. Lord, I'm going to miss that. You ain't dead yet. You got a mummy up there in your casket. You got somebody that looks like your old nature. Come on now. But if that old man is dead, man, that bride, she walks up and says, glory, glory. And boy, I never seen a woman shouting at a husband's funeral. If you knew how mean that man was to me, you'd shout right with him. He lied to me. He cheated on me. He run me down. He was taking me to hell, but my old husband passed away. And I tell you what, I've come to have a burial. I've come to have a funeral. And I want to let my old man know I done got a new one. And he is the resurrection and the life. The old desire, notice how Brother Bam, the terms that he used, has passed away, which is the words we use when people pass away. When you used to like to drink and cuss and fuss and stew and run around and immoral. Now listen how complicated this is. That thing just died. had a heart attack. You were set free. See, Jesus wasn't going to court you now as long as you was married. He ain't no adulterer. Come on now. He ain't going to see you as long as you was still Church of God. I mean, as long as you was still married. But if he can get that old nature of yours to reason with that word and let him die right there on the altar. But you got to be willing to let him go. That thing just died. But then you say, well, you use Satan's instrument. Now you're redeemed. Now that's what the world will be, the same way, redeemed, a new heavens and a new earth. Just like you. Just like you. Just like you. You are a new creature. And the Greek word that anybody knows said you're a new creation. Amen. A new creation in the same old temple. So what was Adam? The reverse of this. Now he was the old image and the holy image of God left him. So what is the new birth? The exact reversal of what took place in the Garden of Eden. So you stand in a 50-year-old body or a 40-year-old body, whatever it is, and yet something happens on the inside and that old man dies and passes away and you've got a resurrection of that new birth on the inside of you. And though you're getting older and older, you're like Abraham, I'm going to have this baby. I'm going to have this baby. Sarah, don't you doubt it. Yes, sir, we're going to have this baby. Why? The image has already been restored from here and it'll work its way out here. Galatians 5:24. They that are Christ's, not plural, but possessive. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. So now this is not the old man. This is the old house. Now the old man, the nature, can only die once. But the house has to die a slow, painful death. Come on now, children. Amen. God ain't going to give your old flesh electric chair. You don't get a shot. You don't get hung by the neck and go dead. No, it's a crucifixion, a slow, painful dying. It may take you years, and it will. Come on. It may take you years and years of walking with God. But if you are Christ, you have crucified the flesh. Oh. Now, these are truly His disciples. Now notice this moves beyond crucifixion at Calvary. This brings crucifixion to Happy Valley. Oh, now here's where we squeal like stuck pigs. My, we can cry and cry and just go on off as ever was over Calvary. But boy, whenever this crucifixion comes to Milligan Highway or comes to wherever you live, that's when we go to getting quiet and pulling our toes up in our shoes because we know what's coming down the road. But they that are Christ, that is the problem, friends. Many have accepted Him as Savior, but they've never become His possession. They will not allow Him to walk in and go into the every door of their life. Now, Lord, You keep out of there. That's my private life. That's my own music. Now, this is, You leave me alone now, Jesus. I want You to save me from hell. But You don't go to tell them now how I've got to live and dress and look and all that sort of thing. You mind your own business now, Jesus. That is His business. But they that are Christ, amen, they move beyond just, oh, glory, glory, oh, hallelujah. What was? But they that are Christ have crucified their flesh. Oh, my goodness. Look at these words. They are said to have done it because daily they are doing it in proposito voto enoto, which means constantly ongoing and constant resolution. It don't happen once. It's constantly going. Now watch, Paul says, so they crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You mean to tell me a Christian has to worry about such things? Now remember, the old man's gone. But Jesus moved into the old house.
The image of God left out of Adam. Remember, immediately the new birth brings the image of God back into what? The same old house. So a man forecloses and he loses his house and he can no longer pay the payment. So you're driving around a cul-de-sac and you see that house. Somebody said, wow, that's a good buy. I'll tell you one thing. We can build one for that. Man, let's just go ahead and close the thing. So you close it out. You go in there. There's a window broke over here. Floor's pulled up over there. The hardwood's pulling. Said, man, we got to get somebody in here to fix all this. Hopefully you figured it in on your mortgage payment. So we got to get somebody in here to fix this all out. So you say, you know what? Let's just fix it up a little time. Let's do the kitchen and then we'll move in and we'll keep on going. But that's kind of what God done. God went down with way down into the deepest recess of your soul. And God said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll start here new and I'll go ahead and move in and I'll start working out of the hands. And amen. I'll start working out the eyes and the ears and the hands and the feet. But I'll go ahead and move in down there for right now. Aren't you glad he didn't wait till he got it all done? Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad he didn't wait till he got the whole thing remodeled. But he gave a new birth down inside the soul and moved in. They that are Christ's, not an external profession, but an inward possession of the soul, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not you claiming Him. It's Him claiming you. Notice how Paul said this. It's not you saying, well, Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine. Anybody can say that. But Paul said, they that are Christ. In other words, Christ has paid, has made a price, paid the price for you. He sent back the evidence of the token revealed in the last days. And you know that you are His. And He's not ashamed to call you brothers. Amen. And He actually identifies Himself, not us calling Him ours, but Him calling us His. Oh, Lord, children. Do you understand what this was? Revelation through condescension. Listen now. Revelation through condescension. That once He condescended, He might bring with Him that which He considered to be of such value. Watch in Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Remember, this is a voluntary descent from one's rank or former position. Revelation through condescension. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. How can that mind be in us? There's only one way. There's got to be a new man living on the inside. Because we're not made to think that way. Being in the form of God, you've got to be kidding me. But if you've got eternal life, there's part of you tonight that's in this building that was in the form of God before the foundation of the world. Lord have mercy. And we keep looking at this old body and looking at this flesh. That's not the mind of Christ. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Oh, man. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of the servant. Revelation through condescension. Took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. This is why, friends, every Christian cannot do this. They cannot condescend unless it's been revealed to them. What is revelation? An apocalypse. Taking the cover off. The revealing. then once it's revealed to you, sisters, you are not a Laodicean, then you don't worry about looking like them. Once it's revealed to your brothers, you're not a Laodicean, then you're not worried about looking like them. And let them do whatever they want to do and say whatever they want to say. It has been revealed to you that you also condescend. Oh, hallelujah to God. And you're only here for a temporary time. Remember the prophet giving us a little spiritual analogy of it. He said, looking out on a dewdrop hanging on a clothesline. I don't know if he said exactly the chemistry of it, but let's say it hangs out there in a pool of a night. And he said, it's on the clothesline. And before long, the sun begins to come up. And he said, it'll begin to shake and glisten because it knows that sun's going to brought right back where it come from. What is that? A revelation of condescension. Amen. At that day, Jesus said they'll be able to say, I and my Father are one. Knowing that you come from God and you're going back to God. And there ain't nothing going to stop you. Let hell rage. Let the devil rage. Let the heathen rage. I come from God. I'm going back to God. I was with Him before time. I'm going back to where He is. This feels like revival, don't it? Man. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. The supreme example of not looking to one's own things. Became obedient even to death, the death of the cross. Oh, what did he do? He emptied himself. The Greek word, kenosis. He emptied himself. So he empties himself. Why? Why must he empty himself? That's what Adam done. When Adam fell, he emptied himself of the image of God. So what does Jesus do? Jesus empties himself there. And he comes down here and walks on this earth. Now hang with me now. And he lives upon this earth as a mortal man without the Holy Ghost. Until the river that day, he emptied himself and the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Come on, children. And the anointing left him again in the Garden of Gethsemane. What was he doing? The cross. I'm talking about a godly man and the cross. A godly woman and the cross. There was obedience which attended this descent. And if you come from God, there is obedience which will attend your descent. And if you're stubborn and rebellious and can never obey the word, maybe you didn't come from there in the first place. The obedience to the Father was perfected in His death on the cross. My salvation was complete in His death on the cross. I have to do absolutely nothing for my salvation. But for my walk, my discipleship, my following, it will be completed by my death on my cross. Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for ensample. For many walk of whom I've told you often, now tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth, things in heaven. The blood that was shed upon the cross. God and man were once best friends. But sin came between God and man. So what did God need to restore friendship? A God-man. Hallelujah to God. God and man was at one time like this. And then God went out of man. The holy image of God left man. So God and man were like this. Nahum was placed across the chasm. But what did God need? He wanted this restoration of fellowship and reconciliation. What did he need? A God man. It couldn't be an angel. It couldn't be 100% God and no humanity. It couldn't be 100% humanity and no God. So here he said, the breach, and he said across, and he touched Father on that side, and he touched man on this side. And he said, I'll be the go-between. I'll be the goel. I'll be the kinsman redeemer.
Let me close with this. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now watch how Paul words this. It's as if though Jesus nailed this to the cross himself. Now the allusion here is to a written contract in which we would bind ourselves to work or a debt or to make a payment which remains in force against us until the bond is canceled. That might be done either by blotting out the names. Now, depending on where the ink was made at, whether it was India or wherever more, some of their ink was made of different substance. And it was very hard to take out a parchment. And as long as your name was on that bill, even though you paid it, you could still be held liable. So in the days of the 1700s, even in England, when their ink was made with animal fats and different things, and you could not hardly wash it away with water. So they found out they could take muriatic acid. Gene Lehman agrees to pay Donnie Reagan X amount of dollars and he'll do so and so and so and so and so. He could have paid that thing totally off. But as long as his name was on my debt, legally, he's still responsible. And some of the crooked people of that day tried to make people pay twice. Until they figured out a way to be able to take muriatic acid and put that muriatic acid on the ink, and what it would do is make the ink, poof, disappear. So it went from this with your name and your debts and your address and your social security number and how much you make and what your car's worth and all that. It went from that to that. You say, Brother Branham, you mean my old book? You mean my name? Yes, your old book is in the sea of God's forgetfulness. He don't even remember it anymore. Why? Because not muriatic acid, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ fell on your name and fell on your address and fell on your sins and fell on your wrongdoings and totally annihilated your past. Let me close. Among the Jews, there were two ways of canceling a bond or a writing. One by blotting, crossing it out with a pen. Oh God. Another by striking it through with a nail. So if you was poor and didn't have muriatic acid, but you had a nail. You know, the banks of England and of Wales and Scotland, many of them, even up the 1800s, they would cancel debts. And the way they would cancel them, they would take a knife or a fork or something with a sharp edge and they'd run it through that document, roll it up and run it through that document. And then when anybody unrolled it, they saw the nail print. And they knew the debt was canceled. Oh, Jesus.
Now watch the parallel. This is the way God sees you. But this is the way we remember us. This is the way we remember our wrongs and our shortcomings and our mistakes. My, don't you know what I'm talking about? And you remember, but friends, let me tell you something. You better look for that nail. You better look for that nail. That devil will aggravate you to death with all that evidence he's got against you. But if you look real close, if you've been to Calvary, if you've been to Calvary and Jesus had a hold of your document, if you'll unroll it, you'll find a hole and a hole and a hole and a hole and a hole. Why? Because it was rolled up in the hands of the Master, and the Master took the nails and pierced through that document and canceled my debt. Oh, I may remember it. I may remember things in the past. Every now and then I have to unroll it and say, my debt is canceled. Let's close. Can you imagine when the Jews, the Romans, they nailed Jesus to the cross? They're nailing my bond. But they were also nailing their law. The handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. I mean, they had no idea that by nailing him, what did he say? Lo, I come in the volume of the book. So when they nailed him to the cross, it brought the whole law to an end. So the whole law was pierced through and through. A godly man and the cross. Notice this, Paul in Colossians, amen. Chapter 2, verse 15, after he says, nailing it to the cross, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In what? What they thought was his degradation. What they thought was his act of humiliation in that. He made an open show of every devil out of hell. Don't you understand? Him creating a new man in us, leaving this mortal part. Don't you see what we're doing when we're living a victorious life every day? We're doing the same thing. We're making an open show. There's no reason for you that are born with all these strains and all these things in you. My, your family was adulterers and liars and drinkers and cussers and smokers and bootleggers and everything in the world. Well, that's in your genes. It's in your makeup. It's in that old nature that was there. It makes no sense that you're not a bootlegger. It don't make a lick of sense that you shouldn't be out dancing. We do dance, devil. It makes no sense. Why don't you do it? You're making an open show. Not only the demons of hell, but the Reagan nature. The Orndorff nature, the bad nature. How? By the sign that the world looks at and said, them poor people. They don't never have no fun. Lord have mercy. If I'd have had much more tonight, I'd been sailing another dimension about right now. My Lord, I feel like I've been walking, dancing up and down the horizontal rainbow when it crosses right into the seventh dimension. There ain't a drug addict, ain't never been where we've been tonight. There ain't no alcoholic or no marijuana smoker. They ain't none of them ever walked where we walked right here in this building. We have walked in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the very thing they laugh and make fun of us, poor old things. I feel sorry for them poor little children. Them poor little girls with their long hair and their long dresses. Them poor little things. We just smile.
Oh, I love him, don't you?
Amen.
I so love him. Dear Jesus, I want to thank you for this wonderful visitation that you have given us on this Wednesday night, Lord God. Who were we that the mighty God would come down among us? It shows us that you don't just show up on Sunday. You'll show up anytime your people's gathered together. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord. If there's a one here tonight, Lord, or many, the work of the cross to them is only past tense. And they point back to what you did. And all they see on the cross is you. They don't see themselves and they don't see the world. May you give them an apocalypse, an unveiling, a revelation of the full extent of the cross, which will include us as well. When we really come under the fullness of that, then we'll be able to say like Paul, I'm on the cross and the world is on the cross. I'm dead to it and it's dead to me. How can people even profess to pack the cross and be worldly and ungodly, claim to be Christians, look like the world, talk like the world, act like the world? They're pointing to a work in the past instead of a work that is ongoing. Forgive us for complaining, Lord, about our cross. Help the people to see, Lord, their cross is not so much an invalid child. Their cross is not a wife with a temper or a husband with a temper. Or their lack of education to make a lot of money and they're poor. Help them to see their cross is the personal instrument that they carry, but which they die to fulfill your will. Simply that. It helps us die to fulfill your will. It is a slow, slow, painful death. The old man, he died. We had his funeral. We buried him. And we got remarried again to the anointed word of the hour. But the crucifixion to the flesh and to the affections and the lusts thereof, it's constantly ongoing. So we have to watch our mouths every day. Watch our eyes every day. Watch what we say. Watch what we think. Lord Jesus, thank you for speaking these things to us tonight. Thank you, Lord, that sin is no longer our master. Praise God. As Paul said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. And that word reign is basileo, which means to be king. So we refuse for sin to be king of our lives. The old man is dead. Now the new man's living on the inside. And every day he wants to bring this body subject. Lord, help us to see the ultimate goal of what you have before us. It's not us as your children sinning and doing wrong every day and then repenting every day and asking forgiveness every day. And we think we're taking full effect of what you did on the cross. Help us to see the same God that can pardon us every day could lead us away from them traps in the first place. And put that thing under our feet. That sin does not control us, but God does. And we make an open show. Hallelujah. Help us to understand the similarity runs true today. When you descended and went down through the dimensions, going deeper and deeper and deeper. You come into where Abaddon, Apollyon, down into the abyss. You knock on the door of hell. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We know you took the keys of death and hell. Prophet said you kicked that door of hell so hard, everything on the inside of it shook off.
Then you went over to paradise. He's going to have a revival. What you fixing to do, Lord? Make an open show. Glory to God. Make an open show of paradise. An open show of the devil. An open show of death, hell, and the grave. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then, Lord, on Easter morning, I can see his death sit and straddle your body. He heard what you said, but he wasn't really sure about what might happen. Satan might have begun to wonder, maybe a little bit nervous since you'd showed up down in hell. I imagine he sent a special message up to death. Death, hold that body. But before daylight, something began to happen in that tomb. Praise be to God. And then you walked in your theophany. Glory be to God. And you and death had an eye-to-eye meeting. Praise be to God. But you was not going to take your theophany and go to heaven and leave that body there. Because I was represented in that body. This was your part of the earth. You come to the earth to get yourself a human tabernacle. Hallelujah. I imagine. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. His death began to look you in the face and he got real scared. And he backed off of your body. Moved away and moved over to the door and said, I better get out of here. Hallelujah. 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 For you come by to raise up that body. You went inside that body and all of a sudden maybe his little finger started moving. And then a hand, and then an arm. Then your body set up on the side of that cold slab. I am he that was dead. Now I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah! And we know the ancient custom was, if a man was sitting having his supper, and a guest would come in, and he would have to go take care of some business, the servants knew, and the master folded up his napkin and lay it there in a certain way. Don't take his food. He'll be back. Hallelujah. So you didn't take that old grave clothes and throw them over in a corner. But you folded them up real neat like and nice like. Laid them there. Hallelujah. You was telling your bride, I'll be back. Amen. And we'll finish this meal together at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Lord God. May your power live in our lives every day, Lord. Help us to live a more surrendered life. May your work be ongoing. May the power of the work of what you did on the cross be ongoing in the lives of these young people. In the lives of every one of us, Lord. Still making an open show. Making an open show right in the middle of Laodicea, right in the middle of hell. And we're overcoming it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. How many loves him tonight? Oh my, you know what the conqueror would do, don't you? Whenever he'd go through and conquer and take a city in the ancient times. A king might not be a king, but just of one city or two cities or three or four. So every city had a banner. Every city had a crown. Every city had a throne. So when David would go in and he'd take Philistia, he'd take Gath, he'd take here, there, there. He would take the crown of that city and he would take the throne of that city. So the conqueror would ride through that city with the city crown on his head. Then what he would do, he would take gold and silver from the treasure of the city and throw it out as gifts among his people. Don't you know what Jesus did in Ephesians 4? He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Don't you see what the fivefold ministry is? It's the conqueror riding through. Do you know who's passed our way tonight? Do you understand the mighty conqueror has rode his chariot in our midst tonight and took a gift and threw out blessings?
wives and children. It's not Brother Branham. It's not Paul. It's not me. It's not you. It's the mighty conqueror. He's still riding tonight, right among his people.
This is what the cross can do for us. Not only loose us from sin, but loose us from ourselves and loose us from the world.
Let's just worship him together. I'm trying to close, but you won't let. Would you please quit?
I shall forever lift my eyes to God.
Everybody now. Let's sing the verse together. Amazing grace. Oh, yes, Lord. Amazing grace. Glad he did. All my faults. Saw every one of my needs. Now let's sing it as we praise him. I shall. To God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a little mix up on the baptism. We ain't got no water. It works okay if you're dry land fishing, but it don't work good if you ain't got no water for baptizing. So we'll be baptizing Saturday night. Enjoy the service tonight. Trustee meeting after the end of the service. Remember the meetings that'll be coming up here. We have to next, and we're just expecting the Lord to move for us in just a wonderful way. I'm under anticipation, and we're just excited about what God's going to do. And I believe our brothers and sisters, I know they are. I know they're excited about coming to be with us. Maybe a little bit hot, maybe a little bit inconvenient, but we'll be able to make it. Amen. Let's come back this weekend. And I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I think, Lord, have mercy. Jesus, how are you going to top that? But he always does. I know I'm probably weird, but do y'all ever think when we're in eternity, what we'll be talking about? What he will be continuously saying to us. There still must be so much about him that we have no inkling or no idea. You think in eternity we're going to talk, oh, I went through, I remember that moment. You think that's going to be heaven? I got enough of that here. Think, it will take eternity
for His fullness of His being to be expressed. No doubt the workings of His workings in our life and all of that together, but think. I mean, you're the queen. You live in the city. What does the queen do? Not much of nothing. So what in the world are we going to do for eternity? Guess. You're going to be entertained by the King Himself. What greater thing to entertain her than the further revealing of His person? Oh, I just wish we could go tonight. Oh my. God bless you, children. I love you. Forgive me for going on. Dear Jesus, thank you so much tonight, Lord. I love you so much. Lord, truly, it's as the song says, you get sweeter as the days go by. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that Christianity can be this way. Lord, with my makeup, I couldn't serve an idol. I could never be a Buddhist. I could never pray to an idol and it never moved me. I could never be a Shinto or I could never be a Muslim. To pray prayers three times a day and all the rigmarole they got to go through and ever sharing a testimony that we prayed about this on Saturday night and God performed a miracle on Sunday. They never had none of them in the Islamic church. I could never serve nothing like that. I've got to have a live God. A real one. One that moves on my emotions and makes me cry. One that moves on me and makes me shout. One whose very thought of His being just overwhelms me. I've got to know the living God. Thank you for the service tonight, Lord. Go with us now. Bring us back this weekend if it be pleasing to you, Lord. Keep your people, I pray, dear God. In Jesus Christ's name. Turn around, shake somebody's hand and tell them, it's been good to be in the house of God. I mean, really, we ought to say it's been real good to be in the house of God. Well, don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm at? God bless you, saints. There.